Good morning. Well, in the absence of Neil, then I'm going to be doing the announcements this morning and ask you to pray for Neil and his family as they're away. From looking at some pictures, seems like they're enjoying themselves. But with the announcements, I'm gonna do the Nicaraguan school, which will have some things. I'm gonna wait to do it last because I want to explain a little bit about it, what's going on with that as far as our church is concerned. First, tonight, Jeff Root will be leading Bible study. I encourage you to come and be here this evening. The Fall Festival will be October 29th, and this is a local mission that our church does, and we have a lot of people that come and participate, and of course there's needs for that. We need candy, trunks for Trunk or Treat, cakes for Cakewalk, and workers to help with the games and activities. Also, if you saw out front, the backpacks for Appalachia, they are ready to be picked up, and they need to be returned by October 15th by next week. So, update on the parking lot paving project. Of course, on the one to my right out here, we're trying to raise the dollars to do that. Right now, the fund is $13,725. We need $32,000-something, right at $33,000 to do that. So we continue to pray about that. And then Betty's Bunch meets on Wednesday at 9 and encourage you to come to share with that. Also, there's some T-shirts out on the desk that some of you bought for Bryson and them's mission trip that they're going on. That's got your name on there to be picked up if you haven't already gotten those. Then the Nicaraguan school that our church is supporting, this is a building that you see there that they're working on. They got part of it done. They even got the swing set already there. Let me give you a little history to that. Our church has been going to Nicaragua for several years with Ronnie and Angie Hopkins. And Neil has been several times, and when he goes, he leads or teaches the pastors there. This school is being built by our church by donations. It's not something we do from the budget. The church building or structure of materials has already been paid for. And the requirement of that from by Ronnie is that the people there in the community, and this is in Pueblo Nuevo, is the name of this village. They've never had a school. Their parents have never had a formal day of education. The children have no education. We as a church are building a small village, a small school there for the young children to go to. They do, will not be for high school. Hopefully that can come later. So, but since the school is paid for, there are needs that the church that the school has. Now, in order to get a teacher, the state will send a teacher to the school once that building is completed and the furnishings and the stuff that they require to be there. That teacher will go there and teach and be paid by the state and by the country of Nicaragua. However, they go there and have to teach the first year for no money, and they have to live there with people in the villages. So this is a list of the needs that we have. And the reason we're putting this up, and Neil and I have discussed this, and we'll be going back the second week in January to dedicate the school. The school will be named after Glenlock as a supporter. Now, what we're asking is for you to pray about and see anything on this list that you're willing to take ownership of or to pay for. Or if you don't pick out something, just a cash donation, of course, that needs to be made to the church with that as a designation. And we're just asking you to support that. So children in Pueblo Nuevo will be able to have a school. This is on the river there, and these folks have to work hard, and they only build a school in between planting and harvesting because that's what they do for a living. So with that, we just trust that God will figure out a way to get the needs there. We just want people to participate as God leads you to. Thank you.
Good morning. If you'll stand with me, we're going to begin our worship this morning with In the Garden. together before Bryson comes.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Darkness seems to hide His face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. Trust in His righteousness alone. Faultless stand before the throne.
Christ alone.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Can we sing that chorus just one more time together, Christ alone? And we'll do it without music.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. You
be seated.
Good morning. I'm trying to think through all the steps that Neil usually does when he gets up here. So I guess the children are ready to go over to the children's building, so any children and workers for the children can go ahead and head on over. The rest of you have to stay. I was telling Brooke on the way here this morning, I was really nervous, and I was like, you think it's too late to call somebody else and see if they want to preach this morning? And she said, maybe a little bit. So you're stuck with me now. I'm excited to be able to do this, but I'm, like I said, I'm a little nervous, so if I sound a little nervous, just just roll with it, okay? I may mess up, I may say a few things wrong, but in the end, God will work. I was telling Brooke the last time I taught on Sunday night, my dad sends out text messages a lot, and sometimes they make sense. Sometimes I'm like, I really don't get the message that he was trying to send with that one. But this one was pretty good, and he said, nervousness shows that you're still trying to hold on to it yourself. So give it over to God. And so that's what I'm trying to do this morning is allow him to speak and it not be me, but him speaking. So in this morning, we're going to talk about Jesus being enough. I have a couple of different passages that I like that I'd like to go through this morning that to me represent Jesus being enough for us in our lives. Jesus being actually more than enough. So if you'll turn over to Luke chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 11. And this is something that Neil went over recently whenever he was doing his parables of Luke. But I think it's a good representation of Jesus being enough for us in our lives. And so in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, it starts, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like the one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Okay, so in this story, this parable that Jesus is speaking, the son decides that the comforts of this world are more inviting and more satisfying than being with the father. The son decides right now, this is when I want to have my inheritance is now. So he sets out, the father gives him his inheritance, he sets out, and he goes and he lives wild living. He goes and enjoys what the world would tell you should enjoy. He goes and he spends all his money, he parties, he has all this, what seems at the time, like fun. And for a short time, the son found that life away from the father could seem fun, but then, just like that, the fun was over. The son had hit rock bottom with no place to go. The son's sinful state represents a departure from God and a state of constant discontent. We are looking to gain, 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 and don't realize that all is happening is that we are losing. Falling away from the Father is not a place of content, but a place of discontent. Continuously searching after things of this world, things that people, you know, outside of God's kingdom would call fun and entertaining, searching for those things is not enough to fulfill you. But Jesus is enough. Luke 12:15 says, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." If that's not a total disconnect from what the world preaches to us, then I don't know what is. You know, we hear over and over again, take in, get as much as you can. You know, gain, gain, gain from this world. Store up your possessions in this world. But Jesus says, your life isn't in what you have. Your life isn't in what you have in this world. Your life's in me. I'm enough for you. I'm more than enough for you. And so as the son saw, after he squandered all of his wealth of this world, he said, it's better to just be a servant of the Father than it is to be one in this world. And so he goes back to the Father. He realizes that the things we are told are important in this world, the sinfulness of life, it all passed away. It says right there that no one gave him anything. His friends that he had whenever he had the money and he had the high status, those friends were gone with his possessions. And the only thing left remaining was the Father. And so the son, he goes back to the Father and he says, I've sinned. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. Just make me a servant. And the Father says, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. God's grace is enough for you and me. Living as a son of the Most High God is more than enough for us. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy the Spirit like living in the will of God. And sometimes it takes hitting rock bottom for people to realize that. But there is still grace. Grace is still sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And so as we look at the story here of the parable of the son, we realize that he thought what was best for him was to store up his possessions now. He thought, this world is where I want my satisfaction to come from. But in the end, it took him hitting rock bottom to realize that the only satisfaction, the only joy and oneness that he could feel was with the Father. And so in this situation, it's Jesus showing us that he is enough. He is more than enough to satisfy us. He is more than enough. Moving over to another scripture in John chapter 4. I know this is a little different. Neil usually has one passage and he makes points off of it, but I feel like the Bible does a lot better job of explaining things than I do, so we're gonna use a little bit more of the Word this morning. John chapter 4, a story that we've probably heard many times. Starting in verse 4, it says, now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. So Jesus comes to this well, and a woman walks up. She's by herself, which suggests that in this time she was an outcast of the community. Because many times coming to the well would have been a fellowship of the women in the community, something they would have done together. She was a Samaritan, someone a Jew usually would not associate with. And so this woman comes to this well each day, searching for something to quench her thirst. For the Samaritan woman, it was the love and approval of a man that she thought would quench her thirst. He says, "You've had five husbands, and the guy you have now is not your husband." And Jesus is telling her that you can look all you want for a man to give you the love and approval that you seek, but that can only come from me. What you're looking for is not found in a man of this world. It's found in the Spirit. It's found in having the Spirit in you. It's found in having the Spirit working in you. That's the only thing that can quench your thirst. And of course, she doesn't really understand what he's saying at first. She says, "Where can I get this water? Where can I get this water?" Well, it's found in Jesus. It's found in a relationship with him, where he gives you his Spirit to be a well springing up in you. And so her approval was looking for it in a man, but what is it for us? What is it for you and me? You know, the Lord blessed me with an amazing wife, but guess what? If he hadn't blessed me with her, and I was living by myself, and I didn't have a wife, I'm still called to know that Jesus is enough. You know, if I were to live all my days without a wife, I'm still called to know that Jesus is enough for me. That's not something I need. So what is it that we look to in this world that we think will quench our thirst for satisfaction? Is it money, vacations, fame, social status, sports teams? Like, listen, I'm a Kentucky sports fan, University of Kentucky sports fan, so I know that they can't satisfy a longing for joy and peace that Jesus can. I've been disappointed with them enough. And I'm sure most of you all, if you're an Atlanta sports fan, we remember what happened in the Super Bowl not too long ago. We know that they don't bring continuous joy, do they? And so that's what we're looking for. We search this world. We go around looking for this or that to satisfy something that only the Spirit of Christ can do. It tells us that here. It says in Jeremiah 2:13, it says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Instead of looking to the Father, the one true source of living water, the one true source of continuous joy and peace welling up inside of us, we go out into this world, a broken world, and look for something in this world to satisfy us. We go out and we search and we find that each thing we can't get enough of. You know, if I have this much money, I'll be satisfied. Well, guess what? When you get to that point, you'll want the next step, and the next step, and the next step. And Jesus says, there's only one step you need. It's me. There's only one thing that can satisfy you fully, and it's my Spirit working in you. John 7:37 says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Jesus is enough to satisfy the thirst within. He is more than enough. Aren't we tired of continuously searching for satisfaction from the world when John 4:14 says that only the Spirit of Jesus in us can quench that thirst? It's exhausting. It's exhausting looking through this world and trying to find something that can't be found here. Jesus says, "Come to me. I'm enough. I'm more than enough." Lots of times I like to use examples from when I was like in high school or that kind of time, because as a youth minister, you know, that's how I relate to the students, because as of right now, it hasn't been that long since I was in high school. You know, as each birthday comes around, it seems like it's like a long time ago, but as of right now, I'm still pretty not that far removed from high school. And so I remember sitting at a lunch table and thinking, if I just sat with that group of kids, I would be satisfied. And so finally, you know, I probe and I look and I finally they allow me to sit with them, you know, the prestigious high schoolers. And so I go sit with them, but then that's not enough. And then I have to sit in the middle of the table. You know, right at the first, I'm at the end. At first, I thought that would be satisfying enough, but no, now I need to be in the middle of the table. And so I move to the middle of the table, and still that's not enough. Now I got to be the center of attention because they're not paying attention to me. You know, I'm in the middle here. I made my spot, but this is still not satisfying enough. And we use those steps in our mind to think that can satisfy something that only Christ can satisfy. I remember playing sports. I wasn't that great. You know, I'm okay. I'm an okay athlete, but I wasn't that great. And I kept thinking, if I could just be a starter on our baseball team, then that would be enough. You know, if I could hit one walk-off hit, that would be enough. That much, you know, being that popular would be enough for me. And it took a lot of prayer and a lot of searching for me to finally realize that what I was looking for in sitting at that table, what I was looking for in being on that baseball team, what I was looking for in hitting that walk-off hit, what I was looking for in having this girlfriend, those things that I was looking for cannot be they're not satisfying enough because I was trying to fill a void left by a lack of the Spirit with things of this world. I was searching out for a divine satisfaction from worldly things. And I'm here to tell you that hole will never be filled by this world. That longing for something of this world, trying to fill it with things of this earth, will never satisfy. But what will satisfy, what is enough, is a relationship with Jesus. What is enough is His Spirit welling up inside of you and me. That's what's enough. That's what's more than enough. Ephesians chapter 2. I know I'm just like, where you're all over the place, but Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Christ has always been enough. And the greatest example of Him being enough is whenever He went to the cross. He went to the cross and took all of the wrath of God that was meant for us, took it on Himself, died for you and me so that we could live, that we could have a relationship with Him. That's why Jesus is enough. He's enough because He took the place of you and me. The sin of the world taken away by one man, Jesus Christ. Romans 5, 18 and 19 says, "Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous." We're in a country that I love, and I love living here. It's an amazing place to live. But we have to be on guard to know that many things that this country calls us to accumulate and to desire fail in comparison to Jesus Christ. This is a country where we have a lot. We are overabundantly wealthy compared to many other countries. We continue just to live in a country where we're free. And I love that. But I just want to give you a little glimpse into this book I'm reading. It's called Radical by David Platt. And this is just a little excerpt from him when he was in a country in Asia. It says, "Just imagine going to a worship gathering in one of those house churches. Not any all-day training in the Word, just a normal three-hour worship service late in the evening. The Asian believer who is taking you gives you the instructions. Put on dark pants and a jacket with a hood on it. We will put you in the back of your car and drive you into the village. Please keep your hood on and your face down. When you arrive in the village under the cover of night, another Asian believer meets you at the door of the car. Follow me, he says. With your hood over your head, you crawl out of the car, keeping your face toward the ground. You begin to walk with your eyes fixed on the feet of the man in front of you as he leads you down a long and winding path with a small flashlight. You hear more and more footsteps around you as you progress down the trail. Then finally you round the corner and walk into a small room. Despite its size, 60 believers have crammed into it. They are all ages, from precious little girls to 70-year-old men. They are sitting either on the floor or on small stools, lying shoulder to shoulder, huddled together with their Bibles in their laps. The roof is low, and one light bulb dangles from the middle of the ceiling as the sole source of illumination. No sound, no band, no guitar, no entertainment, no cushioned chairs, no heat or air conditioning, nothing but the people of God and the Word of God." You know, that shows that God is enough. Jesus is enough. Many times we need to remember that Jesus is enough. I'm so thankful that we have the things that we have. But it's me that needs to remember that Jesus is enough for me, and that Christ works in me, and that His Spirit is enough for me. And in these countries, you know, where they're having to hide their faith, you know, Jesus is enough for them. And their small room that they're lying from end to end, you know, in Nicaragua, where they struggle on a daily basis to have things, you know, Jesus is enough for them too. And so that's something that we need to remember each day, is that Jesus is enough. And so as we prepare to sing our hymn of invitation, I just want us to be in prayer. You know, is there something that we're searching for in our lives to try to satisfy what can only be satisfied by Jesus? You know, is there something in our lives that we think, if I only had this, then I would feel full, that I would be filled up? Is there something we're trying to replace the Spirit of Jesus with? And so let us pray, and then we'll sing our hymn of invitation. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you that you fill us up with your Spirit, Lord, and that we can be satisfied by that. I thank you for this incredible church, Lord, this incredible country that we live in, Lord, that is so blessed by you. I thank you for this group of people, Lord, that love you and search after you in their hearts. Lord, I just pray that you just continue to lead and guide us, Lord, and that you continue to be enough for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. if our ushers will come forward for the offering.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just give thanks for this day, Lord. We just give thanks for the rain, the much-needed rain, Lord. Give thanks that we live in a country where we can worship openly, not like what Bryson told us about other countries where you have to sneak around and hide. We're just thankful for that privilege, Lord. Thank you for the message today. There's a lot of truth in that, Lord, that you are all we need. Did you not say, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all things will be added unto it? But if we come to you, Lord, you'll supply all the needs, not our wants. I think a lot of times I'm guilty of it, that there's something I think I need, but I really don't need it. What I need is more of you and more of the Holy Spirit within my life, Lord. Go with us this week as we go to work and other things that we do, Lord. Lead us, guide us, and direct us in all your ways. We just ask that you bless these tithes and offerings. Use them to increase your kingdom. Reach out to people in the world, Lord, that don't realize that you, Jesus, is all we need. We ask all these things in your Son, Jesus' holy name. Amen.